What kind of measures have we seen made towards delivery transport workers in general during the pandemic?
Look, there's been a fair bit of rhetoric around this, but the action has been has really been left wanting in many instances. We've had some of the larger companies come out and say, "Oh, we'll provide certain PPE like masks and gloves and sanitizers, and you know, we'll provide some form of sick leave if people are having to self-isolate or if they're sick." But I have to tell you, in many many areas and in many of these companies, and let's remember that the demand has really gone through the roof for many of these guys, as you say, during many people are locked at home, that just hasn't happened. They have not received any of that equipment. And in most instances, if they've had to be quarantined or they're in fact sick themselves, they haven't received any support in terms of financial assistance during that period that they can't work. So it's a real double whammy for these guys. That as you say, they're on the front line dealing with people. They have to deal with people every day, get up close and personal in many instances, yet they're not being given the support in doing it or the financial assistance they may need if something happens. So they're really caught between a bit of a rock and a hard place.
How hard is it for the unions to actually represent food delivery agents when they're not considered employees but rather individual contractors?
Yeah, look, that's a great question. I mean, there's a couple of things that are really an issue here. The first is that the definition of an employee in this country is something that is really a common law test for the courts. Really, the last big decision about this was sort of 25 plus years ago, and obviously the world has moved on. We're talking about the mid 80s, the last time the High Court really looked at this issue, and the world's moved on. And of course, what these companies are saying is, oh no, under this particular definition, no one's an employee. All these guys are running their independent businesses. Now, firstly, that's actually been incorrect, and we saw a case with Foodora last year where they were actually found to have been employees of Foodora given the way that the work was done. And the minute that happened, Foodora left the country with millions of dollars of entitlements left to workers and other creditors. And then we've had other instances where companies will deliberately frame the situation just to move slightly to the other side of the employment line. So you've got this issue where either you're an employee and you get everything, or you're just on the other side of the line and you get nothing. And most recently, in a decision we're actually going to appeal, the Fair Work Commission found that an Uber Eats delivery driver was just about an employee, but there was one or two critical parts of the test in the mid-80s that just didn't quite fit. And therefore, rather than get something, she in this case got nothing. So what the union is saying is this employee... And it's also, of course, a nonsense to say these people, by the way, are carrying out some sort of independent business in the way that we think perhaps a builder or a plumber is that's able to do this sort of work and hold themselves out and actually run their own business. These are people being paid, in most instances, below the minimum wage that would apply to an employee. It's a nonsense to say that they're somehow going to be some independent business that can go and run their own show, because everything is done through the platform that they use. So what the union is saying really is that this distinction is old-fashioned. A worker is a worker, and once you're a worker, there should be some form of tribunal that can look at your situation and they can determine what is appropriate in the circumstances. And of course, we'd say in terms of these riders who are vulnerable in most situations, and very vulnerable, as you pointed out, during COVID, and who are being paid below what the minimum wage would otherwise be, that there should be a suite of rights they're given. And it may be that this tribunal would look at some other group of workers and say, no, you're genuinely independent business people and you don't need these rights because you know, you're doing fine and everything's in place for you. So we need an approach here for government. Otherwise, we're going to end up having a situation where every company, you're going to run a case for people in different companies and you're going to get different decisions depending on who the judge is and the exact circumstances. And that's not what anyone really, really needs. What we need is some certainty, and we need the government to step up and do something.
And just on the fact that a majority of these food service workers, food delivery workers, are also international students, does that compound some of the difficulties in representing their best interests?
Yeah, well, of course, part of all of this in the current pandemic is that international students have been excluded from the JobKeeper program. So a lot of people that might have been working, say, as a barista or in hospitality somewhere as a student, their business is shut down. They're not getting JobKeeper because the rule is that you can't do it as a foreign student. So they've moved into this sort of work because this is the only sort of work they can get to pay their bills. And of course it's hard because they're very vulnerable. So sticking your head up as a union member or trying to raise concerns pretty much means, and particularly if the courts are finding these people aren't employees, means that the minute you do that, these platforms can just say, right, you're not working for us anymore, and there's very, very little, if anything, they can do about it. So we have had some success recently in Deliveroo, which is a food delivery company. We had a group of workers, and many of them who were international students, said, enough's enough. We're sick of not being doing these jobs where we're riding bikes in the rain, and sometimes people open car doors and we get knocked over. Or cars hit us. You don't get workers' comp, so if you get injured on the job, you just got to sit at home and with no money until you can work again. And they said, we've had enough. They actually used health and safety legislation, which is about the only good piece of legislation for these guys, to say we want to form our own health safety committees to deal with some of these issues. Now, the company protested at every step of the way and said, no, these laws aren't designed for you. But we've very recently had a decision saying no. There should be safety representation for all workers, including these ones. So we're expecting that will start to have some sort of impact, not only at Deliveroo, but across other companies. But it's a hard slog. As you say, these people sticking your head up and being seen invites your head to be chopped off. So it's very, very difficult for these workers to properly organise to be a union, even though we know, having spoken, that many of them do want to be.
Well, Nick, look, it's a thorny one. Do appreciate your time speaking to us on it this morning.
No, my pleasure, and available any time for a chat. Thanks for that.